has a lead, 15-10, touchdown, Chargers!
It's a free agency edition of Chargers Weekly, as always joined by Matt Money Smith. Money, it's raining on this Wednesday morning in Southern California. There's so much to get into, and I guess the caveat with this podcast, guys, is we are taping this on a Wednesday morning. News will probably break as we're speaking. There's so much to get into, from Eric Kendricks becoming a Charger to Austin Eckler potentially on his way out of the Chargers organization, maybe not. Trey Pipkins is coming back. Money, I guess I'll give you the honors. Where do you want to start with all of this news that seems to be coming in really every hour?
Well, yeah, I mean, look, the most impactful for the Chargers is a guy who's scored 38 touchdowns the last 2 years, right? And whether or not he's going to be on the roster next year.
Yeah.
I think the idea is very similar to the one, and look, we discussed this last week, right? Like, this, the guy's in the last year of his deal. He's making sick. He's the ninth highest paid running back, and he scored 12 more touchdowns than the next highest guy in the NFL. So you knew this was coming. I don't know. I'm not privy to what they're asking for. I've heard there's some rumors that it's more in step with touchdowns and receiving than running back, which makes sense if you're Austin's agent. And it's, well, the guy's top five in receptions, and he's number one in touchdowns, so why are we paying him like a running back when he catches the ball as much as he does? And, you know, I think that leads to some, you know, I don't want to say acrimony, but just tough negotiations and trying to figure out, you know, what's the right number, what are the right number of years. As we tape this right now, there's a report that Zeke Elliott's going to be cut today, you know, yep. And that's the largest running back contract ever handed out, $90 million. It didn't work out. He's been the second best running back on that team for 3 years. I don't know what they offered. If they offered to negotiate and tack a few onto the back end of this and give him a little bit of a bump, maybe get more in step with, you know, where Aaron Jones or Nick Chubb is, I don't know. I do think if the right deal is given to them, that they'll take it. I think the league has moved in that direction. It's moved way too much in that direction for teams to continually invest in running backs on a third contract. You just don't see it. Now, the one thing I'll say is it goes back to our draft conversation, right? Which is, if you feel as though you're a piece away, then draft the running back. Draft Bijan Robinson if you drop him in and that's the piece. So losing that piece, you know, runs counter to my argument of, hey, if you're close, make sure your offense is firing, man, and that you've got every piece possible to put points on the board. And when you lose 38 touchdowns over two seasons, that runs a little bit counter to what I think is the right thing to do. Unfortunately, there's a reason why the league is so popular. And the reason the league is so popular is because, A, it's enjoyable to watch. It's a fun sport to watch. But, B, parity. And the reason there's parity is because of exactly what we're seeing. You know, players on the move from Super Bowl, you know, the Bengals losing their starting backfield of Von Bell and Jesse Bates. In the conversation, is the best safety tandem in the league. You know, gone. The Eagles losing all their linebackers. Two of their defensive linemen. They're cutting Darius Slay as of today. Like, it's just the way the league operates. It has to operate that way, and that's why it's so popular. So, yes, the Chargers are going to lose some players I would really like to see them keep, but you can't. You can't keep everyone. So Austin's going to be interesting, because I think if they don't get what they're asking for, Chris, and I don't know what that is, but I'm sure it's probably a pretty hefty price because of how important he is. Look, he's not going to get a one. You know, you're not going to get a one for a running back. It's just not going to happen. But maybe they want a two. You know, maybe they want a two and change. I think that's realistic for a guy that's put up 38 touchdowns and is on a $6.25 million contract this year. I think if they get it, they'll take it. And if they don't, they'll just say, come back.
Yeah,
you know, it is what it is. You're under contract, come back.
Austin has been durable. I look at the Christian McCaffrey trade last year, and maybe he's not quite on that Christian McCaffrey tier in terms of everything that Christian has done throughout his career. But if you want to just talk touchdowns, there's nobody better. And this is just the business of the NFL. This is where it gets tough, because – You got to take care of a lot of people if you're the Chargers, right? You got to take care of Justin Herbert coming up. You just took care of Derwin James. You had to restructure Mike Williams and Keenan Allen and Joey Bosa and Khalil Mack just to kind of keep this group together. So sometimes it's hard to take care of everybody. But to Austin's point, as a running back and as a running back who has produced better than anybody in terms of touchdowns, you only have a certain window to get your money, right? And so he's looking throughout the league, and we talked. It's ironic that we talked about the running back position last week, yeah. Money, and just, you know, a guy like Bijan or whoever any team drafts this year that's a running back, they're going to have that 4 year or 5 year window where that running back is playing for that team. Austin is a unique situation where he was an undrafted free agent. He had to work for everything he got. He earned that contract a few years ago. He exceeded it. And now he's looking around the league and he's seeing all these other guys. There's eight of them, I think, that you mentioned that are in front of him in terms of money per year. So is there a team that is willing to give up a second and pay Austin, right? Because it's not just giving up the competition.
Exactly.
You got to pay him too.
He wants money. He's not going to come to you on a 1 year, $6.25 million deal. He wants the extension. So here's, like, I'll play both sides of it, right? If you're Austin's agent, you have to do this. You know, that's your responsibility. And here's what my presentation is if I'm Austin's agent. You've given all this money to Derwin James, to Joey Bosa, to Mike Williams. They have not been healthy. So I don't want to hear about my guy is a running back. It's a position with heavy attrition. My guy has played every single game, nearly every single year he's been with you, and save one season when he played 10. Otherwise, it's been 17, 16, 16, 16, 14. That's what he's played. So I don't want to hear it. That would, you know, be point number one. If they say, look, it's running back, guys get hurt. Okay, well, you've already signed guys that got hurt. So that doesn't work for me. Two, production. Find me 38 touchdowns. Where are they? Where are 38 touchdowns the last two seasons in the league? Find me nearly 100 receptions from the running back position. Okay, so now I'll play the Chargers side of things. Okay, go show me the contract. Show me the contract. You know, what is it that you want? Because that's what we do. We base this on other contracts around the league. So show me the contract you're trying to model your guy after. And if it's McCaffrey, I'll point out, well, listen, he's a little bit of a different runner between the tackles. You're talking about a guy that's not just the receiver, but also the thumper between the tackles. Austin runs hard. There's no doubt about it. But I think you're pointing to some of those four-minute drills that the Chargers have not been effective. And again, this is what happens when you go to arbitration, right? Every guy presents why they're the greatest player on earth, and every team presents why you're terrible and you're lucky to have a job. And that's where negotiations create acrimony and create problems, because you don't mean to devalue the player. You don't mean to insult the player. You're simply trying to work in the construct of the rules that the NFL operates.
Yes.
Yeah. And so I think that's, you know, where they're at. I'm trying to find some of the deals. They're like, think about James White. You know, all those catches, all those receiving touchdowns. Guy probably never made more than $3 million a year, $4 million a year. I think that's what Austin is going to run into. And so, you know, ultimately I hope that something gets figured out between these two parties. He's an awesome guy. He's someone that busts his tail to stay in shape, to stay healthy. His nutrition, his commitment in the offseason is probably second to none on the team. I don't know if there is anybody that works harder than this guy to make sure he's ready to go. I want to reward that. But at the same time, I got to fit. It's, you know, I think I said this last week. It's not basketball. You can't get by with two huge salaries and filling around those two superstars. It's 53 guys, and it's really hard to put that puzzle together.
In money, honestly, if Austin is catching 100 balls, I don't think that's good for the Chargers, right? I want Justin Herbert.
That's what
to
they'll
throw
say.
The football down the field, right? And I do. I in the same breath, I think Austin Ekeler is extremely integral to what they do and how they want to play. He's a change of pace. We've said it. He's an offensive weapon. He is a hybrid running back, wide receiver, playmaker. So this is where it gets difficult. Yeah. But if I'm Kellen Moore, heck yeah, I want to use Austin Ekeler to his full capabilities. But at the same time, I don't want it to be a check down to Austin Ekeler. I want Justin Herbert to throw the ball down the
wheel route
field to Keenan, or a wheel route, or get Austin down the field. I want this offense to go vertical. So it's going to be interesting. As I said, you know, we're taping this on a Wednesday morning. Greg Kim, our producer, Greg, if anything breaks, just come in and let us know. I just saw Aaron Rodgers says he intends to play for the Jets money. So I guess
there we go. Breaking
here
news.
Here we go, right? So Aaron Rodgers.
And we play the Jets in New York.
How about that?
Chargers play the Jets in New York. And I'm telling you right now, if Rodgers on Pat McAfee's show, we love Pat, give him the credit. He said it himself. My intention is to play and to play for the New York Jets. So there you go. Now, two teams still got to come to an agreement. But what I would say is think about London, folks. To me, that game screams London. Mm. Jets, Chargers, Aaron Rodgers, Justin Herbert. You know, it's a because look, he's in the AFC East. He's going to get two with Josh Allen. He's going to get two against a Bill Belichick defense. He's going to get two against Tua and the Dolphins and that defense. He's got
Big
a lot Fangio of primetime games coming.
Big Fangio defense,
right?
With Jalen
so
Ramsey.
he's got a lot of primetime games coming, and I could totally see the league being like, you know, let's take care of our international partners here and get a little Justin Herbert, Aaron Rodgers action across the pond.
Interesting
that he surprised me at all.
Money, we've seen this coming for weeks now that it was trending towards the Jets, but I just find it very interesting that he would leave the NFC, right, to join up with a Jets team that hasn't had a lot of success getting to the postseason, with Josh Allen and that Miami team and the Patriots in that division, with Justin Herbert and obviously Patrick Mahomes and Burrow and maybe Lamar Jackson, all these other quarterbacks in the AFC. I realize that he's going to be able to call a lot of shots here, bring some of his old guys there, but I just find it interesting that you would leave the NFC where the quarterbacks aren't as good, to put it nicely, compared to the AFC guys.
Look, I would just say, look, he's been a failure the last 2 years. There's no other way to describe it. You know, he has lost two divisional games, because I'll argue last year, you know, was a divisional game against the Lions. You know, in the divisional game against the Lions was to punch his ticket into the playoffs, and he lost that in week 17 at Lambeau. You know, so that's a failure. Or week 18, that's a failure. Year before, he can't score two touchdowns to beat the 49ers in the divisional round, even though they have the best record in the NFC. So even though the path to the Super Bowl perhaps looks a little bit easier, you know, and the path is more perilous in the AFC, you know, perhaps Aaron is trying to shed the single Super Bowl, the way he got there. If I remember right, I want to say that was the NFC Championship game against the Bears, in which Jay Cutler broke his leg in the first quarter and Caleb Haney was the quarterback
for three quarters of that game.
So that's his one Super Bowl. You're at Soldier Field, the quarterback goes down in the first quarter, and you're playing against an undrafted free agent at quarterback the remainder of the game, and that's how you won your Super Bowl. He's got four MVP. I'm almost wondering if he's a weird dude. I'm not breaking news there. I almost wonder if he just wanted this motivation. Like, you know, everybody's saying that I'm a pain in the ass, that I don't get along with my teammates, that I'm, you know, just an eclectic or enigmatic personality. I'm going to go to the biggest media market, you know, arguably on earth, and I'm going to put it down. And he's got a supporting cast to do it, man. Now they need to fix the off, but they have to cross their fingers that the O-line is healthy, is what they have to do. You know, Mekhi Becton, Elijah Vera Tucker, those guys got to be healthy. Yeah. So, you know, because we know he does not do well when he's not protected. He holds the ball too long. But he's got a legit back in Breece Hall. He's got legit receivers. Obviously, we saw what Garrett Wilson did last year with guys like Mike White and Joe Flacco and Zach Wilson. He's got two legit tight ends. I love Uzama. You know, I mean, he's got The other Denzel Mims, Elijah Moore, awesome slot receiver.
Lazard's so, coming.
Lazard's coming. He's got that defense. Quinnen Williams in the middle
That's
of that defense.
Thing, defense.
Sauce Gardner, he's got that. So is this the best team in the AFC East? I don't know. I mean, he's the second best quarterback or the best quarter, depending on how you feel about Josh Allen, you know, who I think a little bit of the shine came off last year with the struggles with interceptions and the struggles in the playoff game. But I'd take Josh Allen over Aaron Rodgers. That said, though, I mean, it's still a debate, right? He might be the best quarterback in the division now if he rediscovers what makes him Aaron Rodgers and he's not just mailing it in and not showing up to any practices and not working out with his guys in the offseason and just kicking it at Joffrey's in Malibu every afternoon. Like, if he's motivated, it's going to be a tough team. And it's a team that was, you know, was ahead of the Chargers, remember, until the final 3 weeks of the season for that playoff spot. So it's a grind, man. The AFC is a grind. And now Aaron Rodgers has added to a schedule with two, with Patrick Mahomes, two with Sean Payton, you know, two. I think Jimmy Garoppolo is maybe a net neutral, maybe a little bit of a net gain, you know, just from the winning perspective. It's going to be tough, man.
Yeah.
And they're playing Tua, Josh Allen, and Bill Belichick again. We know what Bill Belichick's done to Justin Herbert every year, you know, the two times he's played him. So nothing's easy.
Nothing's easy.
Rodgers just got a little bit harder.
Rodgers was in our backyard. I was at this event on Saturday at Saddleback College. It was like this charity flag football tournament. It was put on by Aaron Rodgers and his RX3 growth equity company. And Josh Allen was there, ironically. Jared Goff was there. Matt Leinart, so Sam Darnold, who's now a 49er, Amon-Ra St. Brown. So it was cool to see all these guys there at once, and everybody, you could tell, like, it was just kind of hanging over the event. It's like, what is Aaron Rodgers going to do? Yeah. So we finally know. The Chargers, we talked last week, we answered a bunch of questions, got some real good feedback on the pod, and appreciate you guys submitting questions, and submit it every week. We'll try to get the questions when we can. Trey Pipkins was a big topic of conversation last week, Money. The Chargers get that continuity. They get Trey back. He'll play right tackle. And I said it yesterday. I'm happy the Chargers were able to make this happen. They saw it through, right? They saw potential in this small school kid from Sioux Falls, went through the growing pains, and it paid off last year. And now they get to see his prime years with this offensive line led by Slater and Corey Linsley.
It's clear. I think it was priority number one, you know, and that's, and you don't have to look far. Look to the Super Bowl, you know, look to the Super Bowl and how they, the Chiefs, I think, upgraded with Juwan Taylor over Orlando Brown. They just gave him what, 60, 80 million bucks. You know, they prioritized offensive line 2 years ago and they prioritized it again this offseason. The Eagles have arguably the best offensive line in football. Those are your two Super Bowl teams. One puts up 38, the other 35. You have to protect up front in this league. And if you have two tackles, you better figure out a way to pay them because it's the hardest thing to find. I think of all the position groups, yeah, it's hard to get two defensive ends, two pass rushers. That's hard too. But I think it is incredibly hard to find two guys that you trust, you know, that you don't feel like you constantly have to, you know, shade protection that way or add a tight end or make sure your running back's always on that side to chip or run your quarterback away, you know, cut the field in half from that weakness. When you have two guys that you trust, you can do a lot more on an offense. And we saw what Kellen Moore was able to do with that offense in Dallas with five really, really good offensive linemen. And I think, you know, we're projecting a little bit, I think, but also not. You know, Zion, I thought, had a very solid rookie season. Yes, it was a rookie season, and there were a couple games he struggled. But if you can keep this front five, and we talked about it last week, I think Sawyer's a better guard than a tackle because he struggled with speed on the edge at time to time. But once he gets his hands on you, he wins. So that's going to probably fit better as a guard. And he played some guard, you know, at Georgia. So it's not like it's a completely foreign position to him. So to me, that front, Slater, Sawyer, Linsley, Johnson, Pipkins, that's a really, really good offensive line. And when you're telling me I can get Trey Pipkins for $23 million and the Broncos just gave Mike McGlinchey $80 million, who was borderline benched, was almost benched in San Francisco at the back end of that year because he was so leaky over there. Hey, man, way to go. I mean, way to go. And, you know, there were some other smaller moves that we can get to. But yes, I think Trey was priority number one. I don't think there's any question that that was the number one thing they wanted to get done. And once it happened, I think we saw the writing on the wall that Matt Filer would be released because you need the money. So basically, you took Matt Filer's money, you gave it to Trey, and now you're even. You don't have to worry about, you know, coming up with more money, restructuring more contracts, cutting other people in order to get Trey on the roster.
Yep. And then, like you said, you had Sawyer guard. Sawyer's proven he can play tackle too. So if anything happens on the left or right side, you could probably plug him in. You also have to find some depth. So you talk about some of these small moves. They put tenders on Foster Sorrell and Cameron Dicker. So those are the two small moves. Eric Kendricks.
I'll quickly say, though, Chris, I think the Dicker thing's interesting because of how good he was down the stretch. But then you have a little hiccup in the Jacksonville game. You know, I don't think it's fair to pin that on him. The guy had made like 25 or more than that. I think it's like 40 straight kicks, extra points and field goals. So that to me is going to be interesting because as we saw last year, you know, Chargers had to dip into the kicker free agent pool, you know, four times. So, you know, they signed Dustin Hopkins. Then they had to go get Bertolette. They had to get Dicker. And I think there was one other one in there, if I remember right. But I'm spacing on it right now, or three times, whatever. But point being, I think there's going to be a legitimate competition in camp. And I think they're probably going to get a seventh or a sixth for one of their two guys that doesn't make the team because teams need kickers, especially two that have big legs that can kick the ball in the back of the end zone and guys that have proven, you know, they can win games for you when the pressure's on.
Yeah, well said. And then, you know, Foster Sorrell on a smaller scale on that offensive line, just somebody who's been
developmental,
you know, exactly. Developmental. A guy who's not developmental, who's been in the league for a long time, UCLA Bruin, Eric Kendricks, coming back to L.A. Your thoughts on that move, and I guess it kind of signals that Drew Tranquil is going to be playing football elsewhere.
That's the sad part, you know, and again, just tough decisions. I think this particular move, and I'll start with this, Kendricks is a great player, phenomenal player. You know, I mean, I don't know how many Pro Bowls he's been to in Minnesota, but like all of them, it feels like. He's a really, really good inside
linebacker.
You know
what? I looked that up, Money. He's only been to one.
Is that right?
Just one, but he's been like the model of, because I thought the same thing, and I looked yesterday and I was like, he's only been to one Pro Bowl. He's an All Pro that year.
Like
two,
it was more.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I think this illustrates how hard it is to roster construct in the NFL. Like Drew is probably going to get, I think, based on kind of what the numbers have been for inside linebackers. I mean, you look at the Tremaine Edmonds contract, the Edwards contract, like those are big numbers. So, you know, Drew, you never know. Like Drew, I think they probably figured was in the 8 to 9 million range per season. He's really good, and he's an ascending player, and he's getting better every year. And I think they were like, okay, Drew's going to cost us 8 to 9. Kendricks is going to cost us 5 to 7. What do we do here? And that's how important those $3 million are. On a $225 million salary cap, you got to figure out how to shave $2 or $3 million at a position so you can figure out the rest of your roster. And I think that's ultimately what it came down to. You know, it's one of the, I can't remember which GM it was that said it. But, you know, I think Tom has probably said it as well. And if he hasn't, because he's not the kind of guy that pats himself on the back, but, you know, we'll do it here. It's what happens when you draft well. You know, when you draft well, you can't pay all your guys. Hunter Henry's going to leave. Drew Tranquil's going to leave. Chenna Nwosu's going to leave. Now, the one thing I would say is when the market doesn't deliver what the player hopes the market's going to deliver, I think that's when you got to get in there and try to figure out if you can make something happen. Like when I thought Chenna was going to get one of those $60, $70 million deals. And when it didn't show up and it became $10 million per year, and I think it was like a three-year, $28 million, figure it out, man. Figure out a way to get him back. It's like, hey, you know, we wished you well. We wanted you to get that big money deal. Okay, how about not having to pull up stakes and take off? Let's maybe do something here and see if you can either get back into the market next year and make all that money for yourself. And, you know, we'll protect you on the back end with a couple years. in case it doesn't work out for you. You know, like, I would love to see more of that. Like, think about if they have just been able to keep Chenna last year for $10 million, man.
Oh, my God.
To be able to have him in that depth at the edge. Like, that's what I'm thinking with Drew is, you know, Kendricks is in his prime. You know, is he starting to dip after? I don't know. Right now, I think he is still in his prime. But Drew was just starting to get into it. So I think that's one of the things you have to think about if you're Tom. If the market does not give Drew what he's looking for, you know, we know how much he loves it here. Can you figure out a way to keep him and keep that depth on this team?
Yeah. John Johnson is another name that's been swirling around Twitter, and obviously nothing official, obviously, but a guy
that surprised me just because I think they like Aloe so much and he's so affordable. You know, you're talking about John Johnson is probably going to want a few million bucks, and Aloe's making like 800 grand, you know, as a sixth round pick or whatever he was. So that's the one that for people that are getting all excited and they're trying to connect that. And look, maybe it will happen. You know, maybe Johnson doesn't have a market. Again, I think it's all what is the market bear?
It's all about the market.
But yeah, if it's me, like, If I'm the one with the purse strings and I'm the one, if I'm John Spanos and I'm writing the check, get me Dalton Schultz. He wants to come here. It's clear. You can see through social media. There are so many seeds being planted. Rumor is Chargers are interested. Dalton Schultz might want to reunite with his, okay, that's his agent. He wants to be a Charger. He loves playing for Kellen Moore. The guy's been incredibly productive. Get it done. Like, go get that done. That way you don't have to be a slave to your draft pick. You know what I mean? You can now draft it. Look, if there's a tight end there, God knows, two tight end sets, nothing wrong with that.
I was going to say, though, it's gonna ruin our Dalton Kincaid content. It's going to ruin our Mayer content, you know, if we bring Dalton
Schultz.
But
it would
be awesome.
So what if you bring in Dalton Schultz and you draft Washington, and now you've got that sixth offensive lineman tight end, and Dalton Schultz is kicked outside and you can't cover him with a safety and you can't cover him with a linebacker. Come on. I mean, it's all right. It's all numbers. It's all the numbers game. So if that, like, that's the one thing that's interesting about him is he kind of fits that Travis Kelce mode more than he does that full service tight end. He's a really hard cover. Now he blocks too. Don't get me wrong. He can block his ass off if he's asked to, but And I think the thing is, Chris, he's a really good player. Dalton Schultz is a really good player. So if that's how you fill your tight end, that's a win. You know, that's a win.
The more guys you could bring in that are familiar with what Kellen Moore likes to do too, especially for Justin Herbert, I think the better. The running game under Kellen Moore is just going to be so fascinating now as we wait to see what happens with Austin Ekeler. So, you know, if Austin Ekeler stays, what do they do to complement Austin? If he goes, we're talking about a whole new running game. I don't know if it's going to be more of a power running game. Do they try to identify, you know, Zeke? I know is at the tail end of his career, even though he's only 27. But, you know, there's going to be some guys out there that may make sense for what Kellen Moore may want to do running the football. So those are the things I think over the next 48 hours, Money, that we're going to have a clear picture of is, A, if Austin's here, what do they do? Do they just roll with Kelly and Spiller and maybe add a guy in the draft? Or if Austin goes, do you look to the draft exclusively to find your bell cow? Is Isaiah Spiller your bell cow? Is there another guy, a veteran, like Kareem Hunt? Is Kareem Hunt an unrestricted free agent?
So I'm looking at it right now. By the way, I pulled up the credit to SpotRack. .com if you want to check out all these numbers. Market value, they have Dalton Schultz pegged at $15 million a year. So that's going to be tough. But that's how good of a tight end he is, just to kind of put it in context. They're putting him up there with the Dallas Goedert's, the Dawson Knoxes, you know, those guys that just got those contracts in the $50, $60 million range. So here's the thing that's working against Austin, right, is here are the deals that have been handed out. And I know Rashad Penny has not been able to stay healthy, but, man, if he's healthy, look the hell out because he can run. He gets a one-year, $1.3 million deal. Matt Breida, one for $1.4 million. Raheem Mostert, 2 for $5.6 million. So you're looking at about $2.7 million per year. Jeff Wilson in Miami, 2 for $6 million, $3 million a year. Samaje Perine, you know, $3.75 million a year to stay in Cincinnati, he goes to Denver. And David Montgomery goes from Chicago to Detroit, and he's making $6 million a year. So now on the market, and this could be kind of what Tom Telesco and and Ed McGuire and all those guys are thinking is, if we get what we want from Austin, here's who's out there right now. You have Kareem Hunt. You have Jamal Williams, who broke Barry Sanders' record for touchdowns in a single season in a Lions uniform. You have Deonta Foreman, who, once they traded Christian McCaffrey, freaking lit it up for the Panthers as a bruising back between the tackles. How about Miles Sanders, who we talked about last year?
He was incredible this year.
1,300 yards, like the quietest 1,300 yards and 9 touchdowns or whatever he had. You know, what is his market value now that he's out? I mean, they've got his average annual, the spot rack has it at 7.2. They think it's a 2-year, $14 million deal.
Plus money. So, Sanders is a guy who Kellen Moore saw up close twice a year. And he's also a guy who was in an offense with Jalen Hurts, Gainwell, and Boston Scott and still rushed for 1,300 yards.
Right.
I mean, geez.
So that's what I'm getting at. Like, that's what makes it tough for Austin Ekeler, is that you heard the contracts I just ripped off. The most expensive one was 6 a year. Austin makes more than that. It's David Montgomery, who was the bell cow in Chicago and goes to Detroit. Outside of that, these guys are getting $3-4 million. Productive guys. Jeff Wilson, productive guy. Raheem Mostert, productive runner. You know, Rashad Penny's the upside flyer guy that's rushed for 200 plus yards in a couple different games in his career because he's so freaking good, he just can't stay healthy. So there are so many different ways to build this thing out. And we know last year, look, I know I'm kind of just all over the place, but like, think about all the splash signings the Chargers made last year. And how did it work out? They got the number one corner. Guy played less than a quarter of the season. You know, they got two of the most desired interior linemen for the defense that they run, Austin Johnson, Sebastian Joseph Day. Both were great, you know,
yeah.
and then one ends up getting hurt.
Yeah,
exactly. So it's like, you know, they get a really good slot corner, you know, and he gets banged. Like, it happens, you know, you sign these guys and it doesn't guarantee you anything. So, like, to me, the most important thing is just, you got to create depth. You absolutely have to create depth, you know, because we see it every year. Guys go down, you know, and so if you can find those value signings that help your team out, you know, I think it's so important. You know, that's why, like, they're small, it's small tidbits of news, but, like, you know, Fehoko, Parham, like, look at what a great depth piece Fehoko was last year. To have that guy, like, how valuable that was. You know, and it's not easy, man. It's why it's hard to be a GM in this league. You're constantly being asked to just, hey, I know Fehoko, he's going to get, we can't afford to pay him $2.5 million. We can't. So go draft another one. Sorry. Figure it out. You know, and so that's why you make the big bucks, man. It's why you and I, you know, we live on scraps. We live on the crust that was cut off of the PB&J that's being eaten by
exactly.
Tom Telesco, you know,
because
we are not tasked with being held accountable for those moves. We just get to talk about it.
Yeah, we just get to talk about it. You know, you mentioned a guy like J.C. Jackson who's going to take up some cap space here over the next couple of years. You know, if it wasn't for Michael Davis, Chargers wouldn't be in the playoffs. Right,
100%.
You know, Jamari Sawyer, a 6th-round pick. You know, a year ago, we're talking about the trade of Khalil Mack, and yes, Khalil had a good year. The signing of J.C. Jackson, and we were expecting a lot from J.C. and more turnovers. It's whatever you see in March, it doesn't necessarily show itself in September through February, and that's the mark of a team that needs depth. Like if you have a team with depth, those pieces, they're going to show up late in the year. I remember watching, and Money, you called the game. It was the Sunday night game against San Francisco. And seeing all these guys, like Justin Herbert is playing without everybody, right? And they're still making it work with DeAndre Carter, who was just a free agent signing for like $1 million, right? You know, Tito Bonilla goes down. Christian Covington goes down. So all these guys, that's kind of when Fehoko and then Gaziano goes in and then he goes out. So all these pieces that kind of showed themselves in November, December, those are the pieces that helped the Chargers get to playoffs. Not the big name free agents that we see in March necessarily.
Well, I think also too is, you know, you have to remember, and this goes to, I can't remember who I was talking to, but when I was at the combine last week, I was chatting with somebody. It was a front office guy, and he was talking about a couple players, and he's like, you know, one of the things I remember who it was. He's a former GM, a couple different teams. And he said, you know, one of the things I always had to remind my staff of is what can they do? Because all we would sit there and do, we fell into this rut where we just picked apart what they can't do. And it led to us just probably passing over some guys that we should have drafted because we just focused on, okay, essentially worst case scenario. Like, hey, we're going to get into a game and look at this guy's going to be a liability in this one particular facet of his game, and it's going to cost us a win. He goes, instead of, hey, this guy's going to help us win because he can do this, this, and this. So here's the parallel I'm drawing. Even if Austin goes, even if Drew goes, if let's just go, like, you know, all of these guys get signed elsewhere, you've got a roster with the offensive line we talked about, with Justin Herbert, Mike Williams, Keenan Allen, with a defense with Joey Bosa, Khalil Mack, with Derwin James, with Asante and Mike Davis. This team is still stacked. Like, the team is still stacked on both sides to have those two pass rushers, to have Derwin James, you know, to have a secondary that we saw show out last year with Asante and Mike Davis, and hopefully at some point J.C. Jackson will be back. Like, team's still really good. Like, it is a really good, I would imagine if you were to go through the league and just line up all 32 teams, I don't know how many are saying we'd rather have our roster than yours. You know, there's going to be a lot of teams, you know, it's probably going to be 25 or more that are like, yeah, we'll take that roster with Justin Herbert and Keenan and Mike Williams and Derwin James and Joey Bosa. Yeah, we'll take that roster. That's the one we want. So just keep that in mind. You know, yes, it's going to suck to lose Austin Ekeler if he leaves. It stinks to lose Drew Tranquil, you know, and some of the guys. And that's one of the great things about a team and cheering for a team is watching young men realize their potential and realize their dream and go from being undrafted out of Western Colorado to the NFL's touchdown leader in back-to-back seasons. It's a great story. It makes us feel great because, you know, we're not Derwin James. I'm not saying we're Austin Ekeler. Hell no, we're not Austin Ekeler. But he's an NFL player. But we identify more with Austin Ekeler, with Braden Fajoco. You know, you saw Braden's story HBO, Hard Knocks.
Hard Knocks,
and you saw the joy and the tears, you know, in his family when he made the team. Like, we all relate to that, and we become attached emotionally to these players. And it's, you know, it's something that you know, I was taught early when I worked for the Lakers. You know, I had one of the people on the training staff that just said, no, dude, they're you're a likable guy. You're great. You know, I enjoy conversing with you. The players are certainly going to like talking to you. Don't be their friend. You know, be nice, be cordial, you know, be a great colleague, but do not get emotionally caught up in these guys. It's not worth it. And that's something I've always kept an arm's length, always, you know, enjoyed my conversations with them. You want to be cordial, you know, by no means am I ever standoffish. I say hi, I'll chat with the guys in snack and in, you know, meals and all that sort of stuff, or if we're walking around, but they go, they leave. It's a short, capricious business, and they have to take care of themselves financially because their earning window is from 3 to 15 years if they're incredibly lucky.
Yeah, it's the business. And, you know, I look at the Chiefs too, Money. Think of all the players who have come and gone with Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce, right? Tyreek Hill's gone now. They bring in Kadarius Toney and Juju Smith-Schuster. Clyde Edwards-Alaire, you know, is now Isaiah Pacheco. You know, the offensive line, they bring in Creed Humphrey, and now Orlando Brown's gone. They bring in Taylor. If you have the franchise quarterback and then you have a staple with 100%. Him, like a Kelce, you can build around, right? So the big piece here, obviously, is Justin Herbert. And, you know, Keenan and Mike have been with Justin. You know, we'll see how much longer. But we know 2023 – those guys are back. Justin Herbert's back. Yeah. Corey Linsley's back. Rashawn Slater's back. So you can make things work around a franchise quarterback and have sustained success in the NFL. Now, they have to get past the wild card round now. They have to, now that we're at Justin Herbert's fourth season, they have to get past that wild card round. They got to get to the divisional round. They got to get to an AFC championship and continue to build. But when you have those two or three pieces, you know you're going to be in good shape for a long period of time.
Yeah, look, it's a great point. You know, it's a great point. Because when the Chiefs traded Tyreek Hill, what did we all say? That changes everything. That is the queen on the chessboard, you know, outside of a quarterback position that every defense had to account for. Now you don't, and it's going to be so much easier to play the Chiefs. And it was, but they still figured out how to win because they had enough. You know, it wasn't as dominant. It wasn't as explosive. They had to win tight games when before they were blowing people out, you know, by 10, 14 points because of the explosive play availability of Tyreek Hill. But they figured it out. And yeah, look, the Chargers were up 28-0 in a playoff game and lost it. Like, you know, that can't happen. It shouldn't have happened. Mm-hmm. It's the greatest playoff collapse, you know, one of the greatest playoff collapses in the history of the NFL. So you would like to think that history isn't going to repeat itself. But I think when something like that does happen, you do have to take inventory and you have to ask yourself, okay, why did it happen? And do we have the right people? And that's top down. I'm not talking about just players. I'm talking about coaches. That's why we got a new offensive coordinator and a quarterback coach, you know, because they couldn't get a first down. They could not convert third downs in the second half. They could not run the 4-minute drill. They had no ability to run the ball on designed runs. So they went out and got a guy that does it better than almost anybody else in Dallas and what he's done with Tony Pollard, you know, and Zeke Elliott and that running game in Dallas these last 5 years. So they went out and got him. You know, defensively, Ronaldo Hill is out. You know, Derek Ansley's elevated. Brandon, I'm sure Coach Staley is doing some self-evaluation. He says he does all the time that you got to be honest with yourself. And they've got to fix that because they couldn't get off the field. They could not stop a team on third down that was 28-0 in the hole and was essentially passing the ball over and over and over again. And they could not figure that out. So, you know, those are things that you have to improve upon year to year. And so that could be a reason. You know, maybe they hold Drew responsible for some of that. You know, the way, you know, the calls are coming in and maybe he's not getting guys lined up right. You know, I don't know.
Yeah.
And that's why they felt better with a veteran like Kendricks. You know, so, but I think it's important to keep all of it. It's not a vacuum. You know, it's important to keep everything in context from what happened last year. What do they need? What do they still have? How do we get to a Super Bowl? You know, how do we get to, I think it's Tampa, right? How do you get to, or wherever
Vegas.
It is this year?
Vegas,
that's right.
Baby.
How do we get to Vegas in 2024, in February 2024? And that's, and do it under the rules presented. Not easy. So
yeah, that's why.
Anything else break since we've been talking?
No, I was going to say, Greg, what do we got? We got
right? All right, nothing. That's good. We got that.
Aaron Rodgers told Adam Schefter to lose his number. Good try, though, when he was confirming the report. That's funny.
Thanks, Aaron. You know, I don't know if you're aware of this, but the guy's got a job. You know, there's, believe it or not, there are other people that have jobs in this business, and it's a big job because people want to know.
People want to know.
And they're not content. The people that watch ESPN, the people that consume Chargers.com, that they want to know. They're interested. It's so, for you know, forgive them their sins of daring to project where you're going. God forbid somebody not do things exactly like you want. I'll tell you right now what I'll be rooting for when they play the Jets. Unbelievable. Guy's an absolute nightmare. Complete nightmare.
Hey, let's take.
And you know what? I'll be honest, Chris. Like, I think it's a terrible match. I'll just say it, you know, and whatever. Do to me what they did with Patrick Mahomes when I was talking about him coming into the league. It happens. It is not a good match. That is a team.
The press conferences are going to be incredible. Like, the Green Bay media and the New York media are a little bit different. Like, listen, the Green Bay media is awesome, and they know their football. But times that by 10 in New York, who cannot wait to make you a headline the next day. I mean, it's the headlines, they write themselves already.
So for me, I'm just like, from a football standpoint, this is a team with a dominant defense and a really good run game and a struggle to protect the pass, a struggle to pass protect offensive line. Like, we know how Aaron Rodgers likes to operate. He holds the ball way too long. He takes way too many sacks. He's always going for the kill shot. Like, that is not a good match with this team. You know, I believe that there was serious debate inside the building. Like, hey, yes, it's the shiny toy and it's the four-time former MVP, but you can make a case that, like, Derek Carr might be the better guy. Like, the guy that wants to get rid of it quick. The guy that's content to take the check down and just protect the ball at all costs. And just, let's just chunk our way down the field and not have – like, that's – I don't think it's a great fit. I think with the way that Robert Saleh wants to play, it doesn't – and just his impatience, you know, his incredulousness – with young receivers and the way he treated those guys last year after not working out with them after they'd been drafted. It's like, you've got all these guys that just came in, Romeo Dubs and Christian Watson. Like, you're not going to work out with them all summer long. You're just going to show up in training camp and be like, all right, let's figure each other out.
Plus, like, what is Garrett Wilson thinking when he sees his wish list of Lazard and Cobb and Odell Beckham Jr.?
100%. And which Garrett he says Wilson's is like, all
hey,
BS.
Man, I'm the wide receiver one. Elijah right. Moore was already upset he wasn't getting the football. And you're bringing in a whole
Garrett Wilson's
cast.
Better than all those guys. He's better than all those guys.
I know he is.
Denzel, listen, if I were Tom, I'm on the phone right now. What do you want for Denzel Mims? What do you want? Because clearly the coaching staff doesn't like him. I can tell you right now Aaron Rodgers ain't going to like him because he's already asking you for Lazard and Cobb and Odell Beckham.
Mercedes
so what do you
Lewis,
want?
I think, was involved. No joke.
I got Uzama. Like, what are you talking about? And I love Mercedes Lewis. He's one of my favorite players ever. Freaking Long Beach Poly, taking on Maurice Jones-Drew and De La Salle in that epic game at Veterans Stadium. Like, I'm just to spin it to the Chargers and not what I think is a very popular position now on Aaron Rodgers. I've held it for a long time. But I would be calling Joe Douglas right now. You need speed. I don't know what their problem is with playing Denzel Mims. Go get him. Rodgers, like, he doesn't want him. We'll take him. Here's a third. We will take a guy that's got almost no production in his NFL career. We will send you a third round pick for him right now. Take it, and we'll take him.
Let's take a quick break, and I want to ask you about a couple more moves that were made this week. As the official hospitality provider of the NFL, On Location offers unrivaled access to experience all premier NFL events like never before. On Location brings you up close for all the action, providing fans with unforgettable moments from draft day to Super Bowl Sunday and everything in between. On Location thrilled to announce its new partnership with the Pro Football Hall of Fame. This August, kick off football season in Canton, Ohio, and be there live to witness the class of 2023 enshrinement. The NFL is also headed back to London and Germany for the 2023 NFL International Games. On Location official packages will feature game tickets, deluxe hotel accommodations, private tours, pregame hospitality, end-to-end planning, and more. Be sure to secure your priority access today. Visit NFLOnLocation.com or search NFL On Location today. Your football experience of a lifetime awaits, only with On Location. So, Muddy, we talked about the Jets. How about Darren Waller going to the Giants, leaving the AFC West, and Kelsey Plum coming out that McDaniel wasn't invited to the wedding, so maybe that was a reason why Darren Waller was shipped out.
I feel terrible for him, right? The guy gets married. His wife lives in Vegas. You know, she's a player for the Las Vegas Aces, WNBA team. They just get married, and now he gets shipped to the other side of the country, and he's a New York Giant. Look, I don't get it. You know, I don't. I'm having to deal.
They just paid him.
Well, that's what I mean. You have to deal with Waller at tight end, Davante Adams on the outside, Hunter Renfrow in the slot. Whew. No,
and
thank
Kobe
you.
Myers.
Great for the Chargers.
And they brought Jacoby Myers in.
Yeah, great for the Chargers. Get him out of here. Get Darren Waller out of here because they had to assign Derwin James to him the whole game. It's like, Derwin, there you go. And now you've neutralized Derwin because he's got to neutralize Darren Waller. Now he's not flying all over the field and doing a million different things. Now he can do that. So, you know, that it really was a head-scratcher for me. I think he is the second-best pass-catching tight end in the league behind Travis Kelce. And to remove that, what it tells me is that, you know, Josh McDaniels has full confidence of Mark Davis. You're going to ship out a guy in Derek Carr that, you know, I'm not a huge fan, but the fans love him. You sold a ton of number four jerseys. He's the all-time leading passer. He wasn't terrible. He was league average, you know, maybe 15 to 20 quarterback. That's exactly what Garoppolo is. He's a little bit cheaper, you know, so, but you gave Josh his guy. He's Josh's guy, you know. Waller, not his guy. Jacoby Myers, his guy. Okay. They believe they are 100% sold on Josh McDaniels. So they are allowing him to construct the roster in his image, and that's what he's doing. And it's either going to work or it's not. And guess what? Show me the Bill Belichick disciple that's worked. I'd love to see it because it hadn't happened. Didn't happen for Charlie Weiss. Didn't happen for Romeo Crennel. Didn't happen for Bill O'Brien. Has not happened for Josh McDaniels. Had, like, none of the – Joe Judge, Matt Patricia. There is not one. The majority of them fail spectacularly. Yeah. They don't just fail, like, they fail spectacularly. So that's not what I'm saying Josh McDaniels is going to do, but I'm saying that's a hell of a risk to take if you're Mark Davis and you're going to allow him to tear apart your team and build it up in the vision in which he sees it should be built. Now, you know, it's not like the Raiders have had any success. They have not won a playoff game in 21 years. So, you know, okay, what the hell? Figure it out.
But, they got to get their defense right, too. I mean, that's
so how about really this, by the way? Denzel Mims, zero career touchdowns, has barely played for the Jets. 4.38 40. 4.38 40. Vertical, 39. Broad jump, nearly 11 feet. This dude freaking flies. He flies. You know, he's, what is he? He's 210 pounds. He's 6'3". Go get him. Go get him.
You know, but Elijah Moore's another guy who, which is, it's crazy to me that if these, listen, these are reports that Rodgers wants these, you know, these Packers, former Packers to come in and play and Odell Beckham. But it's just, I think it's a complete disrespect to the dudes that are on the roster. Elijah Moore is a good player.
Well, but like the thing with Denzel is they haven't played him. They have not played him. He's got career 42 catches. Think about Josh Palmer, right? Denzel Mims been in the league for 3 years. He's got 42 catches, 676 yards, and no touchdowns. Palmer had more than that this year.
I don't think you even need to give up a third round pick, right? Maybe a fifth round pick.
I think the problem is Joe Douglas loves him. And he can't, you know, that's my guess. Is he's like, why won't you play this guy? He's 6'3", 210 pounds, and he runs a 4.3 40. Why is he not on the field? Get him out there. And for some reason, they won't, you know? So go get him. He was drafted in the second round. Like you said, give up a four. Who knows?
This may be a time to get him because, you know, Joe Douglas is busy now signing Lazard and trying to get this Aaron Rodgers thing right. So you can't keep all these receivers because they're not all going to touch the football. Like you said, Mims doesn't even touch the football now. Last part I want to ask you about was Jalen Ramsey going to Miami. It's another team. Chargers play the Dolphins again this year too. That defense is going to be really good. We know what that offense is all about if Tua can stay healthy. Just yet another contender in the AFC.
It's a grind, man. If you're a Chargers coach or in the front office, just go ahead and I'll Google it for you right now too. Go into Chargers opponents 2023 and get a look at what that looks like. And it's obviously Sean Payton with the Broncos now. It's, you know, the Raiders and two with the Raiders, two with the Broncos, two with the Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes and defending Super Bowl champs. On top of that, you got the Bills, Josh Allen, second in the MVP voting last year. The Dolphins just added Vic Fangio for defense and Jalen Ramsey. And we already know Xavien Howard. And is he still on the team or they let him go? Yeah, no, they let go of Jones. So Xavien's still there. Christian Watson up front, Jalen Phillips, all that length at end. Like, that's a really good defense. And now Vic gets to coordinate that. You get the Ravens. Please get rid of Lamar Jackson. Let him go to the NFC. you know, the Cowboys, the Lions, the Bears, okay? You know, Lions on the upswing, away at Patriots, at Jets, at the Jordan Love quarterback Packers, who I hope take a step without Aaron Rodgers, except when they play the Chargers, just to rub it in his stupid face. And the Vikings and the Titans. It's a tough schedule, man. It's a tough schedule. Remember, they were talking about Jordan Love ahead of Justin Herbert in that draft after that season he put together at Utah State. And I've heard the Packers really like him. You know, he was being described as Mahomesian, his off-platform throws, the cannon of an arm. You know, there was a conversation that he should be the third quarterback drafted ahead of Herbert because of some of those splash plays that he put together at Utah State. So don't forget, he's a talent.
Love and Herbert worked out together in Costa Mesa leading up to the draft, preparing for the combine. And that's what's funny. It's like, imagine Justin Herbert and not really seeing him at all until 2023, right? Like, imagine having him just wrapped up and not playing at all. And this is kind of what we're going to get with Jordan Love. But it looks like Jordan Love has taken some strides. And I'm with you. I hope the Packers do take a step forward with Love. And he has a good 2023.
Yeah, just not against the Chargers. That's all.
Not against the Chargers.
Get to go to Lambeau.
Yeah.
You know?
I can't wait for that. That's going
to
be
fun. Yeah, it's great. I've called a handful of games there before I got the Chargers job. I used to call, for people that don't know, games nationally for syndicated Compass Media, and probably did 3 or 4 Lambeau games, and it's just awesome. It's awesome. Like, one of my favorite – I've told the story before, but, you know, they have such a great PR team, just the great people, and one of them picked me up from the airport – found out it was my first game there, you know, and kind of said, hey, where you want to go out? And I was like, yeah, whatever, man, take me wherever you want to take me. And there was this place kind of up the road from our hotel where we were staying. Obviously, it's not a huge place. And they said every Saturday night, this place, just talking about 4,000 people in the middle of the winter, packed in to this like bar that's 3 stories tall and just having a great time. And
amazing.
It was awesome. And everyone was incredibly friendly. And it's such a cool place. And then I remember going to the stadium that day. And to get to the stadium, you know, I'm driving through a neighborhood. It's just, I don't get on a freeway to go there. I'm taking neighborhood streets as all these houses along this line are, you know, using their lawns as parking for people. I look to my right, I'm at a stoplight, and it's a funeral home. And people are tailgating on the lawn of this funeral home, which is hilarious. And then I go through the light as Lambo was on my, I remember like it was yesterday, the first time I did it. Lambo's on my left. There's like a gas station, a giant parking lot on my right. And where the media parking was, I have to go around the backside of Lambo. And there's a Catholic church right behind Lambo in a neighborhood, right? Lambo's just dropped right in the middle of this neighborhood. So there's houses and here's a Catholic church. And in the Catholic church is a stage and a band. And remember, I'm getting there early, you know, because I got to call the game. So I'm there probably 2.5 hours before kickoff. And here's a band on stage banging out Zeppelin rock and roll. And just on the lawn of a Catholic church. I'm like, this is great. What's better than this? It's such an awesome, you know, if you're a Charger fan and you guys do a great job, speaking to you fans when we go on the road, we've seen you all over. And it's fun to see you when we hit the road. Some really great fans that end up getting out. Obviously, this is one you circle. You get to do it every, what, Chris, 8 years? Get on out there.
Man, I've never been. It's one of the handful of stadiums I've never been to. So, Muddy, that means you're going to have to pay it forward, and you're going to have to take me to that 3-story barn bar where there's 4,000 people on a Saturday night before Packer game. I need to be there.
100%. You know, I have no problem doing that. So, yeah, it's a really cool spot. I get to check a box this year. I only have 2 stadiums I have not called a game in. I've been to US Bank Stadium for the Super Bowl, but I haven't called a game there since they got the new stadium. So that's one. And then all I'll have left is Carolina, because I believe we were in the pandemic when we went there. So I did not get to travel with the team to Carolina. And that's it. Once that happens, I'll have checked every box because I had COVID last year two years ago with Philadelphia. So I still, I did the vet, but I never did the link. So I got to figure that one out somewhere down the road.
I've been to Carolina. I went to Carolina when Steve Spurrier was the coach of the
Commanders.
Redskins, now Commanders.
Redskins.
And Jake Delhomme beat them on a final drive in Carolina. me and my buddies, we took like this big like RV down to Carolina from Virginia from college. It was awesome.
Fun. So I've been to Carolina.
Yeah, Charlotte's a good time. Charlotte's a good time. Underrated city for sure.
Really is. People don't realize like how big of a city that is. Just banking industry, obviously tobacco, you know, is huge there. It's a big city. Like it's got some big city vibes to it as well. I don't think people realize that. So anyway, yeah, next year, Minnesota, the stadium's beautiful. I've just never called a game there, but the stadium is incredible in Minnesota. And we're going back to Nashville, which of course I have no problem with whatsoever.
That was so much fun. We went a couple of years ago. Was it it was 2019, I think. That was the game they lost on the fumbles.
Melvin Gordon's two fumbles.
Yeah.
Back-to-back fumbles at the goal line when Austin Eckler should have been given the touchdown, but they took it off the board and didn't review it, which was weird. Or maybe they did, and they just came to the conclusion that call on the field stands as opposed to is confirmed.
Yep, that was Ryan Tannehill's first start with the Titans, both teams I think were like 5-5. I think it was Jeffrey Simmons' first NFL game. He wreaked havoc and has been since. And we had a good time at Luke Bryan's, and what was that barbecue place we do? It was Franklin.
Yeah, Franklin. Yeah. Where they had the that's another one. Folks, you got a lot of spots to go to next year. A lot of great spots. Really cool stadium in Minnesota. Incredibly cool towns in Green Bay, and a special place in the NFL in Green Bay, and a great town to party all weekend long in Nashville.
Stadium and perhaps an overseas trip, like you said. You never know.
I think that's going to happen. Yeah. Tom, call Joe Douglas. Go get Denzel Mims. Make that happen.
The title of this podcast is Why Denzel Mims Should Be an LA Charger in 2023. 100%.
Figure out what the draft compensation is. Go make it happen. Dalton Schultz.
Dalton Schultz, too. It'd be good to get him. I'm going to Sacramento tomorrow for March Madness, UCLA. I think when we do this podcast next week, Money, a lot will be different. Maybe we'll know a lot more about kind of what this team looks like and can maybe answer some more fan questions. I think you guys have a lot of questions. Go ahead.
I think the one thing to remember is the Chargers rarely do the strike first, you know, strike hard, no mercy approach in free agency. They tend to be the secondary. They want to resign their own. They want to draft, develop, resign. You know, that's what they did with Pipkins. So I think thing to remember is they tend to be the, let's find some value. There's a reason why teams are letting these guys go. But I think you're right. I think we'll have figured some stuff out on the Austin Eckler front, because I'm sure they want to figure that out. Because if it ain't going to be Austin, there's some really good backs on the market. Sanders is the one that comes to mind. Like you said, Kellen Moore, that's a great point. Kellen Moore's got familiarity with him 2 times a year, multiple years with the Cowboys. So I think you're right. We'll have a lot more sorted out.
Yep. All right, guys. Always appreciate you listening. We'll get this up quick so you can listen. For Money, I'm Chris. We'll see you next week. As the official hospitality provider of the NFL, On Location offers unrivaled access to experience all premier NFL events like never before. On Location brings you up close for all the action, providing fans with unforgettable moments from draft day to Super Bowl Sunday and everything in between. On Location, thrilled to announce its new partnership with the Pro Football Hall of Fame. This August, kick off football season in Canton, Ohio, and be there live to witness the class of 2023 enshrinement. The NFL is also headed back to London and Germany for the 2023 NFL International Games. On Location official packages will feature game tickets, deluxe hotel accommodations, private tours, pregame hospitality, end-to-end planning, and more. Be sure to secure your priority access today. Visit NFLOnLocation.com or search NFL On Location today. Your football experience of a lifetime awaits, only with On Location.